Hello, my name is Richard Berridge, and I have decided to record the text of some of the pieces that I have written, just to make it a little easier for those to be able to access my thoughts in some respect. Apologies if the delivery is not quite as professional as some of my colleagues are able to attain, but this is not really my medium. This particular piece I've written now, coming up for air, is really all about what the residential market is going to look like when we come out of this COVID-19 horror. Coming up for air. I've not written for a while, and I guess I've rather fallen out of the habit. And outside the tedious conspiracy theories surrounding COVID-19 and now 5G, there's been a lot of really good stuff written by others. And so I've not felt compelled. Leaving aside the conspiracist's paranoia, and despite the general economic hiatus, there's a lot going on in the real estate sector. Not so much physically, perhaps, but a lot around speculation, conjecture, analysis, and projection. So much cerebral effort, particularly in terms of values and length, depth, shape of the downturn, and subsequent recovery. Are you a V, a U, or an L? There's also been a fair bit of soul searching over what really matters, about resetting the dial and taking advantage of the situation to make real estate a better place, particularly a greener, fairer, and more equitable housing market. Simon Ricketts wrote an interesting piece regarding this, which I posted a couple of days ago. You can find it at Simon's blog, which is in my written piece. In his piece, Simon deals with key worker housing, or rather the lack of it. Whilst we applaud our NHS every Thursday at 8 p.m. with an outpouring of national love and gratitude, will our generosity evaporate when all this is all over? Will we immediately forget the sacrifice that all key workers have made to keep us safe, to nurse us, to keep the streets clean and our bins empty, our shelves full and our homes warm and functioning? I'll come back to this. Markets are not markets anymore. At time of writing, oil is currently worthless, and Zupra have declared there is no market. If we see an extra 2 million unemployed and the reality of the OBR's GDP fall of 35%, it will not be a place we've been before. So, property industry pundits have little in the way of comparison by which to measure our situation. The many yardsticks by which our recovery might be determined have been pretty much exclusively economic in nature. And that's to say, part of a broken economic cycle where the chain comes off when we've been pedalling a little too hard, too fast, and with too much abandon. COVID-19 is not like that. Here we find ourselves hurtling downhill with no brakes, flat tyres, sitting on a seat post, and with handlebars that have come adrift. We're moving, albeit not in the direction or speed of our choice, and with no control over anything else. So to flog this analogy to death, to assume recovery is a matter of fixing the chain and pedalling away to a V for victory recovery, is folly. What we need is a new and completely redesigned bike. But a new bike is not what we'll get. We'll get Boris's old broken bike with some very shiny extras to make it look good and give an impression of functionality. Help to Buy will be extended, and despite the fact that 240,000 properties, that's 14.31 billion loan value and 65.69 billion asset value, which have been bought via the scheme so far, are likely to be in negative equity if market values fall as predicted by even the most optimistic experts. That mortgage trapdoor opens ever wider. It's likely that permitted development rights will be extended. Probably the most pernicious of all planning deregulations to date, it offers nothing in the way of affordable housing provision and has been ruthlessly exploited by a number of developers who leave behind the very worst modern housing available, very probably unsaleable in the future. to kickstart house building in the aftermath, planning restrictions will be relaxed. And we've already seen calls for this from the industry. And with Sir Eddie Lister advising Boris, as he did at GLA, it is likely we will see an unfettered industry deliver what they want to build rather than what we need building. So much for build better, build beautiful. In future years, we will look back and dismiss what we see as post-COVID-19 horrors. I'm afraid also that many current consents, whether under construction or not, may be consigned to the planning bin. I would expect a large number of developers to cite viability as they go back to committee and substantially reduce their affordable obligations. It seems to me to be inevitable. In 2018-19, just over 28,000 affordable homes were funded via Section 106 in England. And that's approximately 49% of all affordable homes. That figure could fall dramatically. Which brings me back to our key workers. As we come out of this viral mess, and we will, what now for our frontline workers? What is their future now that they've risked theirs for ours? Following World War I, Lloyd George promised returning soldiers homes fit for heroes. The 1924 Housing Act paved the way for slum clearance and new council houses. Today, we don't have those slums, other than those in PDR incubation. But we have a problem. Lack of good quality, affordable housing for all. And we will continue to have a problem until we recognise what really matters, which is that society does not function at any level without our key workers. Those people whom we passed anonymously in the street only a few months ago, whom we now laud as heroes. This resetting of the dial, the coming up for air, the taking of a deep breath and the delivery of a greener, more sustainable and fairer housing market is something we must grasp and keep tight hold of. This does sound as though I'm being wholly negative or at least pessimistic about life in the industry following COVID-19. I'm not. But I can see the signs of self-interest, and we must guard against it. They're there for anyone else to see who's been in the residential sector for any length of time. I wouldn't necessarily cast this as a Faustian struggle, but the residential sector has, in my view, long made that pact. And the good doctor knows how difficult it is to renegotiate. There are nevertheless some incredible forces for good, and some amazing people. The Do Some Good movement is an exemplar of how real estate sector can selflessly come together during COVID-19 and coordinate a valuable and substantial effort in the fight against the virus. There are people who have worked tirelessly for years who can see the changes that had to be made. Mark Farmer, the modern methods construction champion, knows we can build better, more sustainable buildings, that not only benefit the end user, but also modernise the industry and secure its future. SME developers like Situ, Utopia and Innerspace Homes, who are trailblazing the eco-building industry and who are simply focused on making life better. There are organisations like the Urban Land Institute at the forefront of progressive thinking. Regeneration experts like UNI PLC, creating new sustainable places to live. Movements like Built to Rent, Co-Living, Co-Housing, Intergenerational, Later Living are packed full of deeply thoughtful individuals whose goal it is to set aside the old ways of thinking and reimagine housing as a place to call home. Proper community, not just an address. Then there's the kaleidoscope of PropTech, where the earnestness of its developers to improve every aspect of life is palpable, energetic and enthusiastic. And we have a whole host of architects, engineers, property managers, investors and institutions who have seen the ESG light. And let's be straight here. If Larry Fink has seen it, we're talking a fair number of lumens. So the real estate sector is not lacking its champions, nor its desire for change. nor an understanding that change must come, nor indeed the individuals with the strength, the integrity and charisma to develop it. I feel that we are in a place where the systemic damage is too great and too deep. I do not see a V-shaped recovery, but rather a long U. But this gives us the time to come up for air, to take stock and remember the heroes and what they deserve. Not just at 8 p.m. on a Thursday, but forever. And it is within our grasp. Thank you for listening.